Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a year, but it's good to be back.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I always thank the Lord that in the summer my schedule is free for this meeting.
Thank the Lord.
And there's nothing more of grace to be in a cabin for 3 days just praying for God to bless. And I appreciate that song that we sang earlier, number 77. It said that salvation is unmeasured grace.
Yes.
It makes us fit for the Christian race.
Yes. Yes.
It takes Jesus to be a Christian.
Uh-huh.
There is no way you or I or anyone can run this Christian race apart from Him. I want to start in Titus, the second chapter. We won't be there long. What is the Christian race? Titus chapter 2, let's look at a picture of what that is. Verse 7, in all things, every aspect of your life, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. Exhorting servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again or answering back, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You notice the Christian race begins with all things there, and we end it with all things. We need an unending measure of grace to be fit for that kind of life. And I am thankful that we find it in Jesus. Because verse 11 declares, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian race, it starts with this hope of God. And it will end with that hope of God.
That's right.
When I think of the entire message of the scriptures, there is two pillar of prophecy that all scripture falls upon. One, he will come.
Yes.
And the other, he will come again.
Yes.
Our life now on this side of the cross has not been the same that since he's come. And no doubt there is tremendous blessings and experience that we cannot yet fathom when he comes again. But I think of this Christian race, it's going to get much harder for you to live this race in this present, this age. I look at these, look at this. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. You need God to help you.
Yes,
in such a time as this, when anything you say can offend someone. How do we measure up to this? Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Have you reflected on your experience today, standing for the truth?
Lord bless.
I have not found that this 9th, 8th verse to be my experience. That the contrary may be a shame, having no evil thing to say of you. May God give us grace to find that wisdom to navigate the Christian race, that this may be true in our experience, especially in such an age as this. I've looked back in the last decade, since 2011, we've seen so many new movements appear. Individually, what collectively they individually they sound so righteous and so well meant intended, but when you look at every single one of them collectively, it's one theme. Mm-hmm. They hate the church. They don't like the church.
Yes.
Have you noticed?
Yes.
There's all these different movements and causes in our society, and globally, mm-hmm. individually, they seem to operate by themselves.
Yeah.
For a right cause, a meaning, good intended cause. Social justice, they call it.
Uh-huh.
But when you put them all collectively, there's only one group that feel uncomfortable in the presence of all of them, and that's us.
That's so.
Yeah, it's true.
God help us. We need the grace of God to be made fit for this Christian race.
It's true. Yeah,
and I am thankful here that there is this standard of living that in all things, in all things, in every answer we give to each and every opposition, and every part of our life, from our deeds to our word, our conducts, there is this grace of God that has appeared to all men.
Yeah.
That's true.
He bringeth salvation to all men. And more than that, it teaches us how to live this Christian life. Yeah. And so this morning, I desire that we take a look at this grace of God that has appeared unto all men to teach us how we can live this godly life, denying the worldly lust. And when I think of the grace of God, there's only one place that I find it. There's only one who is full of truth.
That's right.
And
that's
full of grace.
That's right.
And I am thankful for that. And I know you are too, because when it comes to truth and grace, the best we can probably do is 50-50. We cannot be full, human cannot be full of grace and full of truth
That's
at the
true.
Same time.
That is true.
If I am full of truth, there's no room for grace. It must be like this.
Yes.
We are very rigid when we are fully about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the opposite end.
Uh-huh.
We get too carried away with grace, and you start to compromise standards.
Yeah.
But Jesus, full of grace, full of truth. He knows everything about your life.
Yes.
He knows how you measure up in all things in the Christian race. Full of truth, full of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But have you experienced in your own life He's still full of grace to you?
Yes.
This is our God. This is the grace of God that has appeared to teach us. And I am thankful for that.
Yeah.
The scripture promised that because of Him, we may reign in this life by the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That song, it said that salvation is unmeasured grace.
Mm-hmm.
Bible call it abundant grace. Grace for grace, the Apostle John declared.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, look at, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. I want to lay a foundation for this grace, this Jesus, the salvation that He has brought. And we need to ponder Him, meditate upon Him, handle Him, spend time with Him, become one with Him, so that in all things we may be fit for this Christian race.
Yes.
I feel like every year I come down here and the world gets a little more crazy. But I am thankful I can still deliver the same good news that surpassed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this? Now, for context, the book of Hebrews here, there is a bunch of people who start out the Christian life.
Yeah.
It was going nicely, and then the government changed. A new emperor came over, and he didn't like Christians.
Mm-hmm.
His policy was very anti-Christian.
Yes.
And such that life became very uncomfortable for these Hebrew Christians.
Yeah.
Their business was suffering. Their livelihood was at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Their social statures and standing and approval in society was in question.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what is the safest thing for them? let's go back and be Jews. Let's forget this Jesus stuff. Let's kind of take our pedal off of that a little bit. And the apostle, or the writer here of Hebrew, write and exhort to them to establish the faith in Jesus is the perfect and final religion.
Amen.
It is superior than everything that Judaism has to offer.
Right,
And in chapter 1, we saw that in the book of Hebrew here, there are five warnings. And throughout the book, you will read the warnings. One, don't neglect this great salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, it starts here. You hear the word. It starts with your ear. And then you must choose to believe it or not. And many people, we must warn them, you better hear of this great salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And once you hear, do not let your heart be filled with unbelief.
Yes.
That is the second warning. Three, do something with it and bear fruit.
Yeah.
Chapter 6.
Amen.
And it goes on near the end. Then chapter 7, it tells you, do not count the blood of Christ an unholy thing and frustrate the spirit of grace. And then finally, the last warning in chapter 12, do not refuse the grace of God.
Amen.
Yes.
And this book has some scary passages for people.
Yeah.
And there's these five warnings, this progress of willfully refusing the grace of God that bringeth salvation.
Oh, Lord.
So the first one here, how does he lead us to the first warning? He tells us that in times past, God spoke to prophets, he brought wisdom by angel, and he brought counsel by the law.
Uh-huh.
But in these last days, he speaks by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is superior than the prophets.
Yes.
He is greater than the angels.
Mm-hmm.
And the punishment when it comes to refusing his word is superior than the punishment of law.
Yes.
And so he asked this question, starting in chapter 2, wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, the words that Jesus has spoken.
Yes.
Lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness than witness, both with signs and wonder, and with diverse miracle and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many witnesses that this great salvation is dependable, it's true, it is profitable.
Yeah.
How shall you fare if you escape? If you choose to escape this, there is no way you'll be made fit to live the life where in all things God is pleased. I do not desire this morning to dwell on the threat here of neglecting this great salvation. I want to bring to reminder to you and I how great this salvation is.
Yes.
Yes.
And we want to look to the cross for that. I will, by the help of the Lord here, bring to your mind the cross in four different perspectives. We're going to look at verse 5 to 18, and that's where I would desire to spend this morning in. And as we read, you will find that the cross appears four times, from verse 5 to 18. And in it, you will see the four gospel of Jesus Christ wrapped up in a few sentences. And you are very familiar with the four gospel.
Yeah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Uh-huh.
Matthew presents Jesus as the Lord of all things. And how did it end? All power and authority in heaven and earth has now given unto me.
Mm-hmm.
The kingship and the lordship, the dominion of Jesus is in the Gospel of Matthew. His deity is in the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Thank the Lord.
In Mark, we see his service. What did he come to set us free from? Demons, sickness, disease, and death.
Amen. Oh, Lord.
In Luke, we see his priesthood. How he come to minister to the need, the weakness, and the infirmity of our being, and to resolve the problems of our lives.
Yes.
Many people in the Gospel of Luke came to Jesus with these scenarios and situations about money and marriage and conflict. I remember that passage where he said, Jesus, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. These were the kind of things that Jesus had to deal with as a priest. We as minister have to deal with these things in the lives of those that we have been called by God too. And we look to our great apostle and high priest to give us answer to these things. So as we read this morning, I want to emphatically bring forth the cross and this great salvation, how it is relevant to our life, how it's still relevant in our day, and how it will remain relevant until the day he comes. As we look to that blessed hope of his appearance, as we live on that second pillar of all scripture, he will come again.
Mm-hmm.
So let us read here. And you'll notice verse 5, it starts with 4. Verse 10 is 4. Verse 14, for as much. And verse 16, for verily. Those four divide this passage we're going to look at into four divisions, and each of them will bring forth into our forefront of our mind the gospel of Jesus Christ, all four of them, and the cross. But let's look at the first one. For unto the angel, verse 5, hath he not put into subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place, this is talking about David here, one being David, in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angel, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. This is quoting the 8th Psalm, when David walks out in the night and looks up to the heavens and he wonders, what is man that God is mindful of?
Right.
Who are we that God cares for us?
That's
that
right.
God would come and visit us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the message of the gospel declare first and foremost this. You matter to God. Your worth is in that wisdom. Your value, your merit, your preciousness as an individual is on that basis, that God would visit you.
That's right.
You know, all of the world this past 2 years have probably felt a sense of insecurity in some way, in their livelihood, in their health. We Christians don't ever need to feel a sense of insecurity in any way.
That's true.
Because God is willing to visit you.
That's right.
Amen.
He promised he will never forsake you.
Yeah.
And more than that, verse 7 declare that he has bestowed upon you certain privileges, some standards, some honor.
Yeah.
And this was his intention for humans. Before the fall, this was our intended destiny. We were to be crowned with glory and honor and to have everything set before, under our feet. This was what was meant when God told Adam, name all the animals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exercise dominion over them. And you know, since the fall, humanity has still yearned for that to be fulfilled in our lives. Why is it that men everywhere feel like they have to go and accomplish things and do it well?
Yeah.
And then once they're done, they cannot be satisfied. They must move on to new ventures. We long to have our destiny be fulfilled.
That's true.
Unfortunately, sin has gone in the way. Verse 8, for in that he put in subjection all things under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. You know, this was your fullness of existence. That everything in your life you to have sovereignty and dominion over. But, now we see not yet all things put under him. You know, last night we heard that a good day is when you have everything going the way you want it. Some days you have bad day because we're here. We see not all things put under us. Let's face it, there are things in life you cannot control.
That's true.
And when that comes, this inner man feel like it is in a challenge to our destiny. I was to slay the day. What happened? Right? But I am so thankful the scripture promised that there is the grace of God.
Yes, amen.
Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death. There it is. That's the cross. For the suffering of death, crowned it with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know, Jesus came and he died so that we can fulfill our destiny. You can have bad days, you can have situations that are out of your control, but when you become one with God and you find his purpose in those things, you are exercising dominion and sovereignty over that by the grace of God.
Amen.
That is the promise. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that we may reign in this life. Mm-hmm. But it comes with a cost. There's suffering involved.
Yes.
You will find dominion when you yield yourself and submit yourself to the trials and the suffering and the difficulty that God desired to put into your life. Mm-hmm. That's how the grace of God teaches us godliness. Mm-hmm. It is through suffering. This is the message of the Gospel of Matthew. If we will become one with Jesus and we take the way of the cross, you will find you will have dominion and victory and sovereignty over the things that come into your life.
Yes.
God help us to live like that. Now we move on to the next passage here.
Lord bless.
For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, meaning all of one origin. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name among my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my truth in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. This is the Gospel of John. Those who believe upon him, he has given the right to be declared a child of God. This is the deity of Jesus, the grace of God revealed to us. Mm-hmm. Jesus as the Son of the living God. And when we accept and we lay hold of this grace of God, this great salvation, we believe he gives us the right to be called a child of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And he declared you, and he say, you are his children.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a time where so many people are fighting for their rights.
Yes.
I have often been asked, what do you think of this situation and this movement and that? Mm-hmm. I don't fight for any of that. There's only one right, I keep telling people, that matters.
Right.
The right to be called a child
of God.
That's
right.
And there's one who has came and he has fought that battle for us.
That's right.
Jesus himself.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't need to fight any battle. I need to simply accept a one campaign that Jesus have undertaken for me.
Thank the Lord.
We find peace and security in this.
Yes.
This is why he took the way of the cross. That you may have the only right that really matter when it's all said and done and your life is accounted for. You are a child of God.
Yeah.
And he, more than this, by the way of the cross, he is not ashamed. He is not ashamed to call you a brother and a sister in the Lord.
Amen.
This is unmeasured grace. We didn't do anything to earn this.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I find it interesting here. It said that in verse 10, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
Yeah.
You know, he could have just came and just died.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believe upon that, we have reservation in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something more.
Yes, that's right.
To make him the perfect captain of our salvation. He was already perfect.
Yeah.
But God took it and made it more perfect. How? Through suffering.
Yes.
Now he can relate to your pain.
Yes.
Your trial.
Yes.
Your frustration.
Right.
Your
That's
anguish.
Right.
Things, pain, deep
yeah.
agonies and experience in life that if you talk human, though they may hear, they may confide,
yeah.
they may listen,
right.
they may suggest solutions.
Yes.
They cannot satisfy.
No.
But there's this one that God put him through the pain and the suffering.
Thank you, Lord.
So that he can be made perfect. A perfect captain of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he takes you to heaven, the moment you believe, he will make you. You will be there. Your sins are forgiven.
Yes.
But he's not interested in that. He wants to make you fit
That's
for
right.
eternity.
That's right.
And how did he do it? Punish Jesus. Jesus had to went through some things. So now you have a confidant in life. And I find so much grace and blessing when I come to him and you know what he said? For which cause? He is not ashamed to call them brethren.
That's right.
Now, when you go to him for your pain and your frustration and your infirmity in life, he is not ashamed. He is not ashamed that you're coming to him with this. Your standing before him does not diminish because of weakness. You are still a brother and a sister to him.
Yes.
Oh, what a blessed Savior we have.
Thank the Lord.
How can we neglect this great of salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14, now we move on to the works of Jesus, the service of God, the service of Jesus on our behalf. And you'll find this very evident in the Gospel of Mark as he cast out demons and did all these miracles that deals with demons, disease, and death. For as much then as the children are partaker of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What powerful words those are. And I think of life, many people today, sometimes we come down here and we said that the world's going crazy. It's because people are doing crazy things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. There is a fear of death
yes.
that caused them to
yes.
be bonded to a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Why do some of these people feel like they need to pick up a cause and fight for it?
Amen.
As if their livelihood their person, their body would suffer some kind of loss if they don't. Why do some people feel like they have to live life as if tomorrow they'll die and just engage in all these sinful behavior to partake of the temporary pleasures of sin that last for a season?
Yes.
There's this fear of death here that all their lifetime cost them to be in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And this word here, it makes them slaves and subservient. And people live out of fear because of this.
Yes.
Amen.
Think of your own life. Before you were saved, and even sometime when you are saved, sanctified, saint of God, there are moments you operate out of fear.
Yeah.
And the carnal man starts to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels threatened, and he had to raise his voice and establish his dominance in a certain way.
Yes.
It is, the root of it is fear.
Yes.
But I am thankful we don't have to live on that old basis anymore.
Thank you.
No, thank
why?
God.
Jesus has destroyed the power of the one
that's right.
who has power over death.
Mm-hmm.
That through death, no, Jesus here went through the cross, there it is again, through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Your enemy is a defeated foe.
That's
amen.
Right.
Your enemy
thank
is
the Lord.
A defeated foe.
That's right.
I am so thankful, for this is the work of God in your life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy.
Yes.
Yes.
He has done that.
Yes.
He has set you free from the fear of death that for much of your life caused you to live in bondage, doing things you don't understand. You remember the Apostle Paul said, I don't understand the things I do in Romans 7.
Yeah.
That which I hate, I find myself doing.
Mm-hmm.
Things I want to do, I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He found that there was something trying to bring him a slave again.
Mm-hmm.
This is the human experience. But we have victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
Yes.
Through this great salvation.
Thank the Lord.
You know, when you read the Gospel of Mark, this is what he was doing. He was demonstrating power, dominion, and authority over demons,
yes.
disease.
Mm-hmm.
How relevant that is today.
Yeah.
Yes.
And over death when he rose again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look to Jesus and his life and his ministry like this, you don't need to fear death. You know, one of the reasons that I really explored Christianity when I was a young teenager, there were nights when I were... So growing up, I shared a room with my twin brother, and then we moved to this home, and we had bunk beds in the room. And for some reason, I felt as I got into my teenage year and you start misbehaving a little bit, right? The room felt claustrophobic. It felt like a coffin. And this fear of death just loomed over my life. And Buddhism was not the answer. Right? It never provided a freedom from the fear of death. And then, so what I did much of my teenage year, my best solution was, I moved to the living room and I sleep in the living room. Bigger space, less claustrophobic. Right? And this fear of death, I prefer to sleep in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel like I was in a coffin. But even that, there was this looming fear and anxiety and anxiousness when I think of life and how it's going to end.
Yes.
And once in a while, it will visit me and it haunted me.
Wonderful.
And then what was my next solution? Late night comedy. You're in the living room, the TV is right there, and I just turn on the TV and I watch Jay Leno and Conan back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't provide an answer. Until I encountered this
praise
grace of
Lord.
God.
Thank the Lord.
The day I remember I accepted the Lord, there was this lightness in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Praise
sin
God.
Is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
We do not fear death because
right.
God has broken the power
that's
of the
right.
one
yes.
who has
yes.
power over death.
Thank the Lord.
This is what Jesus did. That is the work of the cross. But then I find that in this life here, I believe that it's, you know, we pray for our nation. But things, I believe the scripture promise, it will get worse and worse. Men, the end we're heading towards is brothers against brother, love growing cold, and lawlessness abounding. This is the future.
Lord,
I don't dare to pray against that. I simply ask for the grace of God and a revelation of the goodness of Jesus Christ to live to the standard that He has in all things when that future is upon us.
Lord,
and as we go through life and we move towards that future in society, I find that this last section here, these next two verses, is most helpful to us. We now look to Jesus as not as King, not as deity, not as a servant who give us victory over death, but the great high priest.
That's right.
This is the message of Luke, the great high priest. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, wherefore in all things, it behooved him to be made like, you know, God to desire that you be fit for the Christian life in all things.
Yes.
And so, Jesus, it behooved him that in all things be made like us, like his brethren.
Yes.
So, as you go through life and you must live this Christian race, endeavoring to be pleasing to God in all things, know this, you have a Savior who in all things have been made like you.
Yes.
You have no excuse to say that Jesus cannot understand what you go through in all things. That is a comfort to us.
Yes, it is.
In all things, to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. In things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sin of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure or to help or to aid them that are tempted. I am thankful that we have such a high standard for living as saints in all things.
Yes.
We have a Savior who in all things have been made like us.
Yes,
that in all things he is of help to you. In all things he can relate. He can understand. And he will not judge. Because it says here, he is a merciful high priest. We have a high priest of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that you would do what the letter here in verse 1 of chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling, the heavenly calling demand that you live pleasing to God in all things.
Yes.
Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. In time of difficulty, in times of insecurity and weakness, friends, I encourage you, consider Jesus. Consider the cross anew. Understand what he's done for us. And we may be those who would never fail to neglect this great salvation. And that will be the foundation of our life. The letter of Corinthians that says, no man can lay any other foundation than Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And we consider this apostle and great high priest that we have, that God has given us by the grace of God. We lay the real foundation for life. A foundation that is not dependent on who's in office. A foundation that
praise
is not dependent
God
on how elections play out.
Yes.
You know, we have confidence over disease, over demons, over death.
Mm-hmm.
Our standing in society, people may look down upon you. Understand, he's not ashamed to call you a brother and a sister. Nothing can ever take this declaration from you. And more than this, as you look to Him and you follow after this Christian life that He has put you on, you'll find that everything that was lost in Adam will be reigned in again in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you will reign in this life by the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord for that. He has restored our lost destiny in Adam.
Yes.
We look to Him, the second Adam, for all things, because in all things He has been made like us, and He can help us. May the Lord bless you and encourage your faith in our High Priest. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.